My name is Jamie Ringline, and I'm 20 years old.
And where do you come from?
I'm from Flint, Michigan.
And what year are you in?
This will be my fourth year of college.
And your major?
Interior design.
What were your dreams when you were a little girl? What did you want to be?
Well, I think when I started growing up, like in elementary, and I was part of a kind of an advanced talented program where I'd go to different school once a week and we had special classes, and that's when the computer age started, and I really loved computers and I wanted to be a computer programmer. And then we had a class that was astronomy and I wanted to be an astronomer. And I think I was leaning more towards, always towards science and math. I loved math and I was pretty good at it. So, and it carried on through high school.
Where did that come from, the interest in science?
I don't know, maybe mostly from my teachers, and just the fact that I was able to do it might have had a lot to do with my brothers and sisters. I have quite a few older brothers and sisters that are pretty bright. Like I said, that was just when the computers were starting to come into the schools, so it was a new thing, you know.
How about the influence from your parents?
No, I don't think it had anything to do with my parents. They weren't excelled in math or used computers or anything like that, or in a technical, although my father's an electrician, but I don't think he had any influence on me whatsoever.
How about your mother? What does she do?
Well, she works as a clerical worker for the city of Flint in the water department.
So you just fell into a technical area?
Yeah. I guess, I don't know, I liked math, I liked solving problems. It was something that was challenging and wasn't too difficult.
And you haven't really thought about where that really came from?
No,
besides
I guess
the fact
not.
That teachers influenced you.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I went in that direction. But I don't always think that seemed to come out because that was the push for the age. I mean, computers and science, and they're now pushing females into science. And I think I was mostly just pushed by society because that's not my only interest. I mean, I'm interested in a lot of other things too.
What are your other interests?
That's one of my problems. I feel like I'm so interested in so many different things that sometimes I don't know what to do. That's why, like, my major used to be engineering, but now I've switched.
Do you feel an obligation to help people in a certain way? Is there something in all this which is based on a religious feeling or a sense of morality?
No, I don't think it has anything to do with. I have no religious obligations. I don't feel any of that. I know that's one of your questions. I was thinking about that the other day. The question was, are you asking, I don't know if you're asking the same thing as the question that was written, if you have any obligations to society to help others and...
Yeah, that's a good question. I hadn't been thinking of that, but
I thought that was the one you were referring to. Because I mean, what do you mean obligations? I have an obligation to myself too.
Well, the kids from the 1960s felt an obligation to fight the Vietnam War. They felt a need to support civil rights demonstrations. They felt very strongly about certain causes within the society, and a lot of those dramatic causes have gone by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
We're not fighting in Vietnam. The civil rights movement has faded, but there are still plenty of things. If you wanted to go work in the ghettos of Detroit, you could do that. But so there are a lot of causes out there, they're just not as dramatic. Could you talk a little bit about that and compare yourself to perhaps the 60s generation?
I don't think I have as strong feelings as they did at that time. And one of the things you printed on here was a question about, you know, today is supposed to be the me generation and are people only looking out for themselves? And at first I thought, no, that's, you know, not true. I mean, we're concerned with other things, but the more I thought about it and the more I let the question lie there, actually it's the truth, because here I am in college and at this particular point in my life, that's all that's my concern is me being in school and doing well in my books and my studies, and that's the first major concern that I have, and that comes first before just about anything else when I'm in school.
Do you sense that in your contemporaries, your peers?
Yeah.
The same philosophy?
I don't know if all my friends have as strong feelings as I do. You know, studying comes first before anything else, but I don't really see very much, you know, political or, you know, society type concerns. I mean, there's not, you don't hear the political discussions in the dorms, and, you know, it's mostly, are you going to the bar tonight, or do you have a test tomorrow? It's pretty close-minded, I think.
Does it bother you in any way?
Yeah, it does. But I feel that that's just the pressure from college, and I don't know if you can really blame the students, because they're so pressured right now. I don't think the instructors aren't influencing us enough to let us stop and think about things and take time out from our studies. It's just, you know, go, 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 study, study, your tests, everything's crammed in the week, you know, and if you're trying to work and study at the same time, it's just a kind of a rat race, I think.
Did you get any influence from your parents on whether or not you should make some contribution to society? How do they feel about the Vietnam War, for example?
I really don't know my parents' feelings about the war.
Or civil rights. Or do they ever talk about the third world countries or those who are living in under poverty in this country? Do they talk about that at all?
Well, my parents are divorced, and so my father hasn't been around much. I don't know his views as much as I know my mother's. And the only thing I don't discuss too much that kind of topic with my mother, although I know that she grew up in a Catholic family. She did attend church when my parents were married and taught catechism and was involved with the church in that sense. And she's now that a lot of the kids are a lot more grown, she's got more time, she has involved herself with community services, YWCA, and offering services for meetings and group therapy sessions. So I know that she is concerned about the people in the community, and she gets involved in the mayor's campaigns and things of that sort. So,
well, where do you see yourself in 10 years if you're successful in your field, interior decorating, whatever it may be?
What design.
Interior design. There's a big difference. I realize interior design.
That's kind of a big thing, not to use that term.
Sorry.
That's okay. They still have it printed on all the old tests and everything.
But what would your model of success be? What are you shooting for? 10 years down the pike, where do you want to be?
That's still kind of sketchy, because there's still that conflict in my head about, you know, did I do the right thing, switching my major? I don't really know where this is going to take me. I don't feel that there's enough role models. I haven't met enough people, made enough contacts and networking to really know what types of careers are out there for me. And it's still kind of sketchy.
But in making the choice, what criteria are you using? I mean, you had to make a judgment to hop over into interior design.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what, you had to apply some standard there to make that change. What was it? What made you make the leap, and what did you come from? Could you describe that change?
Yeah, that's really hard, because it was a really hard thing for me to do, because I was doing very well in my engineering studies, and all the technical classes, the science and the math. I went pretty far before I switched over. But I found that, I don't know if it was, I was just getting tired of it, I was getting frustrated that I didn't feel that I was really learning. I mean, I was making the grades, but how much stuff did I really understand? And sometimes I felt that feeling of failure in myself and not in my grades, that, you know, you learn the stuff just to pass the test, and that was that. It didn't seem like there was enough hands-on. Maybe I just got frustrated. Maybe I just had to wait until I got over that barrier once I was in the college and started taking higher-level courses. But it felt like I was never really had hands-on learning. I never had. There's a question in here about instant gratification. It seemed like I never had enough instant gratification. Whereas in the major I am now, I'm working on my projects. I see them work step by step through until the finish, and I'm always got something in front of my face that I'm working on, and I can see it being built up into the finished product. And so, that's still design, it's still engineering in a sense, but I feel that I get to use more of my creativity along with it in interior design. So I'm still leaning towards the technicality part of the design, but I just was frustrated, I guess.
So you see yourself as a person who needs a kind of immediate gratification. At least you're getting more of that in interior design mm-hmm. than you felt you were getting in engineering.
Yeah, it's one thing I learned. I interned for a company, GM, last summer, and the hardest thing for me to overcome was how much time it took for things to happen in that world. I mean, they start 5, 6, 7 years ahead of time, and there's engineers that are working on a project that won't be completed until 5 years, and by the time they even get to that point, they've already been transferred or switched to a different area of that company. Now, this is one experience that I've had in a huge manufacturing company, so it could be different in other smaller companies, I'm sure. But that was one thing that I had the hardest time to understanding. I mean, I couldn't believe that here you're starting something and you may never even see how it ended up because it's so many years down the road. Your job could change, you know, every 6 months.
Are you impatient?
Yeah, I think so. I am. I remember I was thinking about my elementary days when I would work on my math problems in class, and I was always the first one done because I just had to get through them, you know, get all my math problems done, and I was done with it. And in that sense, I kind of am impatient about things that I
work. Am I off base in saying that maybe there's an emotional route to this switch that you made, that your basic attitude towards wanting to see a result fairly quickly
mm-hmm.
is a major reason you switched from engineering to interior design?
I was wondering about that because I've been thinking a lot about these questions that you have down, and I never really realized that maybe that was the reason. But I'm still not sure if that's, I don't think that's the whole story, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It was an emotional thing for me to switch just because I had gone through so much in high school preparing for college. Math, all I took was math and science. And I thought I was letting all my teachers down, and my brothers are both in engineering fields, and, you know, I kind of thought maybe after all that work, this was kind of a letdown. But I'm not going to let it be.
Well, so you did feel an obligation to your family in some way, at least to the image that you had established for your brothers and your parents and your teachers.
Right.
And that conflicted with what you really wanted to do.
It did. I still don't know if I really did the right thing. I mean, maybe I will be happy. Maybe I would have been happy if I just would have kept going and find a field, a career out there that suited me. Because, you know, sometimes I wonder if you can take it like an engineering degree and, you know, you can pretty much make it whatever you want, I think. But I think that's the same within a lot of degrees, a lot of college degrees.
No, I was saying that making the jump from engineering to the humanities, and I know that's not what you did because interior design is not really one of the humanities in the
right.
same way that history or English is. There are aesthetic principles there which have nothing to do with a lot of fields of engineering.
Right. The one thing I think they do have in common, at least for this school, because it is a very small school, only 40 students get in each spring, which is about 50% of how many applied this past spring, is you still have to have the same discipline as you did in engineering. I mean, it may not be the same type of studying. You can't really set them side mm-hmm. by side and say they're the same, but it's still the same amount of time and effort and discipline is put into it. You have to put, I mean, you may be at the library studying your chemistry and your physics and your science for hours and on end, but you're also, in my major, working on your projects hours on end until the night, and you have to stick to it and meet the deadlines. And there's no excuses for late work. So the discipline is the same. And so that transition was not a problem for me because I was used to it.
Let me hop over to another subject.
Okay.
The kind of social adjustment that you've made here. I don't know whether you're still living in a dorm or what experiences you had in your freshman year, but you must be aware of certain changes you've made, certain attitudes that you've had towards living with people and relating to them,
mm-hmm.
changes that you've made from your freshman year until now.
Mm-hmm.
What are you aware of in terms of changes in your own personality? Can you talk about
that? I think, like, again, my situation was a little bit different because I didn't really feel any college freshman shock that most students feel. There's 8 children in my family, and I have, 4 sisters and brothers, or 5 sisters and brothers ahead of me. And they all go here. They all graduated or still continually go here. And I have a younger sister that goes here. So Michigan State was kind of second home. So that was no problem coming up here. And live as far as like moving to the dorm and living with a large group of people, it's the same thing. I've had a large family. It didn't faze me, you know, living in that kind of environment. So the transition wasn't that big of a deal.
How about the different ethnic groups represented here?
Well, I don't know what you mean by that, but that wasn't a problem for me at all either.
Yeah.
From coming from Flint, where that's the same. Again, there's a very large populations of blacks, Hispanics, and whites.
Did you go to high school with these people?
Yes. In fact, the high school that I graduated from was predominantly black. That was, whereas here, actually, it's quite different because it's predominantly white here. So actually, it's a little bit of a change coming up here.
So you really didn't experience a major change on a social level?
No. I thought I was very well prepared, not only educationally, but socially, before I came up here. I didn't have any difficulties whatsoever.
How about in some of your peers? Do you sense that they've had to make an adjustment from high school to college?
Yeah, I think so. I've seen that. I've lived in the residence hall for 3 years, and so I get a chance to see the new freshmen coming in as I jump years. And it usually takes people, I think, a year before they get into the groove of college, and if they haven't already been that way in high school as far as studying and disciplining themselves and controlling the freedom that they have being up here away from their parents.
Why do you think they're undergoing a change? What's the difference? What kind of backgrounds have they had that you didn't have?
Well, one probably was maybe a two-parent family with maybe stronger parental influences. You know, parents were stricter, or they had, you know, like again, they had maybe their father, the two parents being there. Maybe not having any other brothers and sisters. I know that's different, you know, sharing bedrooms. That in the dorms, you have the other all the other students living close to you. That was different. I'm used to that.
Didn't you get into a few water fights in your freshman year in the dorm? Can you describe at least one horrendous time that you had in the dorm?
That I didn't enjoy?
No, that you enjoyed.
Oh.
You ever do anything crazy before exams or after exams?
Yeah. One thing that pops into my head really quickly is just the screaming out the windows finals week, I don't know, and playing the radios. You know, 8 o'clock would come around and everyone would be pulling their hair out from studying all day, and everyone would scream across the court to each other across from the dorm. I lived in one of the bigger dorms, so... You know, we got crazy once in a while. I don't think I got as crazy as some people, but...
Well, you seem remarkably healthy in so many ways. I mean, you were adjusted when you came to college. You seem to know how to relate to people. The only possible flaw in all this is that you're so talented is that you're not quite sure the direction you really want to take. Is that right? I mean,
I don't know how,
what's wrong
I don't,
here?
I don't really know how talented I am. That's what scares me, but Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, I don't really know where I want to go. I mean, like, usually I find that once I get into a situation at work or whatever, I start to get interested in that particular thing and I want to find out more about this. And, but, you know, do I want to do that for the rest of my life or do I want to move on to the next thing? And,
You definitely want a career.
yeah, I do. Definitely. I'd like to have a
Can
career
you
where I think, where I feel comfortable and I know what I'm doing. I know I'm
start
good at
again?
it.
Because I was talking when you said that, and
Okay.
I'd like to get your voice.
Yes, I would like a career where I know what I'm doing, I know that I'm doing it well, and it's not going to be boring for me, which I've found a lot of jobs that students get over the summers have been quite boring. I don't know, something, you know, that I'm going to enjoy doing. What that is
How important?
for a length of time. I mean,
What length of time?
for over my lifetime, I don't know. I really don't know. I've never, you know, being in school, I haven't experienced having a job over, you know, 3 years, the same job. And that my jobs have all changed depending on the situation.
Do you think you have any special problems because you're a woman?
Yes and no. Because it's kind of a hard question to answer. Because, like I said, I was in engineering and I did do an internship one summer, and there was some advantages to being a woman, because they're really pushing female engineers now, and they really want to make their quota for females in their company. And so right now, you know, that's a big advantage. But you still feel some of that. You still feel some of the inequality, I think, from maybe the older generation that's still around, I think. I don't know if it's just in my head and I'm just thinking maybe. I haven't had really any problems, direct problems with being female, but maybe just in the back of my head, I'm just a little weary of whether because I'm a female, I'm not as good as a male in this field or something. I don't know if that's just in my head or.
Do you think women tend to have goals which are a little bit lower than men simply because they're women? They're not going to shoot as high?
Not in my immediate family or my experience or some of my close friends. I don't know generally. I don't know today.
But getting back to the subject of a career and being a woman, the man expects to have a career, most men do, and to work at it for a lifetime. And if a family comes along, then that usually has a second priority in a way. I think a woman has to confront this in a slightly different way because of an almost stronger bonding she's likely to have with the children. She's
Right.
giving birth to them and all of that. Now, have you thought about any of this? I mean, do you want to settle down? And if you do, what's going to happen to the career? Isn't there a problem there which is related more to the question of being female?
Yeah, that's a really hard question to answer because you never know until you're there, I think. Until, you know, all the circumstances and all the depends. But I mean, I think my outlook for the future is, you know, the basic ideal outlook. You get married, you have good careers. Yes, I'd like to have a career as a, you know, along with the and my husband, and yes, I'd like to have kids someday. And I hope that my career is flexible enough to at least allow me time period for, you know, having a child and, you know, giving me a little period where until I'm ready to go back to work, which I don't expect to be very long. I mean, I think I can do it both, have a family and have a job.
Don't you think
I
that's
don't
a
know what that. See, like I said, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, and I don't know what the criteria will be or what the circumstances will be. But I don't, and I can't really say that if one or if one goes over the other, if I'll be devastated if I'm not at home or if I'm not in a job. I don't know how I'll feel until I get there, I think.
It's a juggling act, isn't it?
Yeah.
And don't you think it's Or Do you think that it's more difficult for a woman to pull that off than a man?
Yeah, I still think it is. I don't know what it will be in the future if views change, but I still think it's still predominantly the woman who ends up being the one who gives up. If there's a giving up of careers or whatever to stay with the children of the home, I still think that's who's expected to give up. But maybe it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah,
and I don't know
do
if it will.
You make a judgment
be.
Of that? You're saying something which
no, I think it's going to be a choice that I'm going to make, and that I'm going to want to make, and I don't think it's going to be a choice that I'm going to be unhappy with. I hope it's not going to be. I hope that when I'm in that situation, that everything's just going to work out.
I'm the irate husband. I come home and I say, look, I've just spent 10 hours at the office. You've put in 10 hours too. But damn it, where's my supper?
No, that's not going to happen.
That won't happen.
No, that's not going to happen. It's not. I'm not saying in those extremes. Maybe it'll come down to who's making the most money, gets to go to work, or who wants to, who doesn't feel like maybe my husband won't like his job at that time, and he'll decide that he wants to not work for a while and take care of the kids until he can find another job that he likes better, and then maybe it'll work out that way. Who knows? I don't know. I mean, what do I have to go on? My mom raised us when we were young, and my parents got divorced when we were a little bit preteen, elementary age. Kind of spans a little bit from our family size. And then she went back to work, and she did fine, She's done okay so far. So I know in that sense it can be done at that point.
Let me hop to another subject quickly. We're about to run out of tape, but maybe we have time on this reel.
Okay.
I have another reel of tape. I won't let you off the hook that easy.
Okay.
How long have we... Describe for me, just sort of close your eyes and describe for me physically the setting that you grew up on, the street, the house, whether you had a gas station on the corner, et cetera, et cetera. I'm testing your memory to see how good you are at giving a detailed description.
Okay. I lived right in the city. I live in Flint, Michigan. The neighborhood was pretty, the houses were close together, as it is in Lansing, just East Lansing kind of neighborhood. I lived pretty close to a more busy section, intersection street, that had, restaurants and stores and stuff on it. I'm trying to, give the picture of, I lived in the city. My house was probably what most people with three kids and a dog and two parents would consider small if they lived probably in the suburbs of Detroit. I mean, we had eight kids and, we never had our own bedroom and until some of them left for college. Somewhat fairly small backyard and front yard. I didn't mind mowing the lawn because it didn't take that long. Two-car garage, fenced in. Almost all the yards are fenced in. When I was young, it was probably a predominantly white neighborhood, and as I went probably about through elementary is when it started to, the balance of, what's the word I should use? Race changed, transformed, and now the neighborhood's predominantly black.
What summer jobs have you had? Or what jobs have you had working? Describe your work experience.
I think it's just been the basic teenager jobs, the fast food, working for fast food restaurants, and...
Which ones?
I worked for a Burger King once, I worked for Taco Bell once. Then when I came up here, the first job I had up here on campus was working in the cafeteria. Because if you don't have work study, you can't get any good jobs. Most of the good jobs are work study. And then I got a job as a desk receptionist For the summers, I waitressed one summer. I worked at GM one summer. And this summer, I'm working for the testing office. And I also have a job working for Jacobson Store for the Home, that sells furniture.
Where did you waitress?
Out of 24-hour Coney Island, I worked third shift, anywhere from 7 in the evening till 7 in the morning, and it was mostly family and a lot of the shop workers from AC and Buick. So that was a real different experience. Actually, I had a lot of fun. I amazed myself. And I worked 6 nights a week for about a month once in June. And it was very slow sometimes. They were small. Definitely was not a big money-making waitressing business. And it was sometimes very slow. But the owners were nice. They're Greek owners. They had pictures of their little Greek village. And the customers were generally nice. And they were regular, so they came in day after day, and you got to know them and joke with them and talk with them.
Now, wasn't there a rough blue-collar crowd coming there?
That's what amazed me so much, was that these guys are all coming in, and they work in the shop, and you all have your ideas about them at first, but once you get to know them, they have kids your age, and they're married, and you tell them, you're going to school, and you're studying, and, then you're treated just like any other person, I think.
So they didn't make too many passes?
No. They joked, but... It was just fun, just having fun. I was never too many incidents. The late night people, but.
So you feel comfortable with blue collar types?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. It depends on the setting, maybe. I didn't have any problems waiting on them.
Okay, I'm going to give you, as I said, a transcription of this, and hopefully you won't throw it away. Maybe 10 years.
Oh dear.
From today, you'll be going through a trunk of stuff. We're going through some old papers, and you'll come across it, and you'll start reading it, and you'll say, "My God, did I really say those things?"
That's probably what I'll say.
All right. But what do you want to say now that you would like to hear 10 years, that you wouldn't mind reading 10 years from now, something that you could pick up and look at and say, hey, maybe I had an idea, or maybe I was on track then. If you were going to sum up where you want to be or anything, I mean, what can you think of anything you would want to say? You can think, do you know what I mean? It has to reduce down to something which you believe in.
Well, as far as where I'm going to be in 10 years or what the direction is I'm going in, I hope that everything that I'm doing now, and I hope, that I'm doing the right thing, and that's what's carrying me through life, is that what I'm doing now is going to make my life better later. And I think everyone strives to, for that happiness in life, and down the road you're going to be satisfied with what you've done and all your preparations that you've made. So hopefully 10 years from now, I hope I can say that, yeah, even if I don't, what I'm going to school for now, if my job is totally unrelated, I hope that then I can say that it was still worth it. My mother always tells me that if you go through college and you end up doing, she always told me, if you end up doing nothing that had related to what you were studying, it was still worth it, she believes, going through the college experience and everything. So I hope that I feel that way when I'm out. And, regardless of, I don't know how much money I'll be making, or, if I'll be married, or if I have kids, or how many, I just hope I'm happy with what I'm doing. And I don't know how long that's going to take before I'm settled, Some people could be settled at 30, 40, or 50. I don't know when that's going to be.
Do you have a timetable? Do you want to be married at a certain age, and then so far in your career at a certain age?
Yeah, I think so. I do have a timetable, but I think I can accept the fact that if it doesn't go at that timetable, again, it's not going to be a failure. I mean, I'd like, once I get out of, I think by, I'd like to be married before 35, 30 maybe, and start having kids while I'm still, I think with being an experience of having my parents divorced and very many friends, just half, more than half the people I know, which is along with the statistics, that I plan on, I'd like to prepare myself before I get married, make sure, I don't know, everyone says they're sure, I'm sure, but maybe be married for a number of years before I decide to have children. I don't know, I'm just be very cautious about the whole thing. I'm a lot more cautious about the whole thing, but it's still, it's just so iffy.
Do you? Okay.
I hope that I have enough money so I can travel, because my cognitive map is very small, and I would like to widen that gap. So that's another one of my goals.
Your cognitive what?
Cognitive map. That's one thing it's been very hard for a large family to travel, and it's very hard being a student and being what I call poor.
tell me where you've been, where you've traveled so far. Just briefly sum up where you've traveled.
Well, the farthest points would probably be Washington, D.C. in the ninth grade, and St. Louis last summer.
Can you start that off by saying, putting it in the first
those
person?
Are my
I have traveled so-and-so.
I have traveled to... Farthest south would be Washington, D.C., and that was traveling through the states, never stopping and learning about them, you know, Virginia or how. I've been to Pennsylvania. I've been to Ohio. I've been to Canada, very close to Port Huron, not going very far. I've flown to St. Louis for 2 days with the company, with GM, last summer, and I've probably driven through Indiana and been to Chicago on a chemistry trip. So it was very short-lived trips and very structured with classes or groups or just on business. And it's just been in the Midwest. So that's as far as I've been. And I'd like to maybe go down south or to the West Coast or to another country. Especially being a designer, you really need to broaden your...
Scandinavia is a nice place.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind going there.
Good design.
Mm-hmm. Italy, they have a summer in Europe program for interior design, and that would be my dream to go on it, but...
I don't know
if I can ever make that happen. They always say, oh, you can get financial aid and everything, but I don't know. I still don't realize, I think, how much it costs sometimes.
I'm sitting here without my mic on, but it doesn't make any difference. Hello? Do you know any foreign languages?
I took Spanish in junior high for 2 years, but...
Do you have a flair
just from
for
what
languages?
I remember from them. I haven't, with my engineering classes, I never had time to take a language, and it's really hard to schedule languages into your class schedule because they're 5 days a week, you know, and they always seem to conflict with the classes that you have to have. And so every term I look and see, maybe can I take a language this term, and it never seems to work out.
Let's see where I am. Whoops. There's one question I've asked everyone. It's do you have your questions there?
Yeah.
It's over on page 3, number 15. You see, I read this question and I listen to you, and it strikes me that you clearly have a lot of these abilities. But the thing that's so shocking to me is that so many students said that they needed no improvement in these areas.
I want to make one thing clear about that. When you say that 50% of the students said they needed no improvement, is that in all of them, or did they just say
all
one?
Of those areas?
Okay, because I find that hard to believe. I'd say two of those. I mean, I wouldn't mind having a little bit more improvement. I don't think I'm ever the perfect. I mean, I don't think I could ever say that I was perfect in all those. But I mean, I could probably use a little improvement in listening to other people sometimes, and maybe maintaining lasting relationships. I don't really know what you're implying by that one, but like I said, I don't think you can be I mean, I think everyone could use some improvement all the time.
Well, are those 50%, are they liars? What's going on here? Is this the cocky student who doesn't want to admit that he has any flaws? Why is that such why is the statistic there so great?
Well, maybe, I mean, for some of those, I might think that I'm doing the best that I can do.
And but the question is whether you feel as if you need any improvement in any of those areas. Do you think some people 20 years old believe that they've reached the maximum, that they need no further improvement? What's going on?
I don't know. I find that hard to believe. I mean, I've only been alive for 20 years. I haven't really experienced all those experiences you go through as you get older and get married and have kids and become grandparents and all those stages in life. It's kind of hard. I mean, things change so much throughout those stages that it's just hard. I just find it hard to believe that you could ever say that you're at the maximum. I think you can push yourself.
Well, if you were going to give a thumbnail evaluation of your own character, I mean, would you list weak points and strong points? How would you do that?
What are you saying? Would I have all strong points and no weak points? Or
yeah, I mean,
I would definitely have both.
Is it unfair for me to ask what weak points you have? Am I getting too personal? Is that something you can talk about openly?
If you ask me specific questions, just to come up with them, I mean, I could come up with some, but I think it would be a fraction of the list. I mean, I think that would, maybe if you give me, I think it changes a lot as you learn more about yourself and you grow up and you look back and what you thought maybe wasn't a weakness back, 5 years ago, is now you realize that, maybe you shouldn't do that or be that way.
Well, let's pick a specific area.
That's kind of difficult.
Let's talk about a specific area. Some people tend to conform much more quickly than others. They tend to be more followers, even though they may have a clear view. They're afraid to assert that. And then in hindsight, they look back and say, my God, I was right. If I had only been more assertive, then it could have turned out differently. Do you tend to dominate a small group that you're in, or tend to be more of a follower, or what? Any situation involving other people or a work situation. There you are. You're at Arby's starting for the first week. You see something going wrong. Are you the type who says, that's not the way it should be done, you should do it this way? Or do you tend to go along with the flow?
If the rules have been spelled out for me and I see that it's been doing wrong, then in that situation I would speak up. But it depends on what kind of terms I am with. If you're talking about something that's a company policy and I don't feel that it's right, and am I going to speak up and change it, I think that it's another... My answers are always depends, but how long I've been there and how well I feel comfortable and confident in the job that I'm doing, and how well if I'm feeling a sense of respect from my employers, or if I'm not feeling that, I might be afraid to speak up, and what kind of relationships personally I am on terms with my employers or peers. That kind of influences me of how, I mean, I kind of judge a situation before I open my mouth, I think. That's the kind of person I am. I don't immediately, I think I'm the type of person who doesn't immediately speak up about something. Unless I don't know what's gonna happen in the after effect, and I'll say, a suggestion or whatever and question, because I'm questioning it and I don't understand why something's happening this way. And if it's explained to me and it makes sense to me and I understand it, then, I'm comfortable with that.
Students who come here, they're forced to absorb a lot of knowledge about a lot of different subjects in a very short period of time. And they don't always get a chance to let that filter through their emotions. That seems true to me, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree.
How did you handle, here you come to college and you have all of these choices. Was that overwhelming, or were you so clear about your direction that you could zero in on the field almost immediately? I mean, how did you handle that question of choice?
Picking
a specific direction. You handled the choice, but there you are. You have a catalog which is an inch and a half thick. It's got 4,000 courses in it. And you can take, really, any of those courses after you get through your 100 series courses,
okay.
Right?
Right.
And so then you're confronted with, is it engineering? Is it interior design? Is it, what is it?
As far as choosing, my choices were pretty much made for me. Especially if you're in the engineering field, I took what I had to take. I took what the requirements were. And I didn't really deviate much from that. And that lasted for a year and a half, or a year and five terms. And then that's when I made the switch. So then when I made the switch, it was almost like starting over. And then again, my choices were laid out for me. And I had to take what I had to take and what was required to get into the college at a certain time. And I can tell you right now that my classes and my times, and we're divided into groups in my major, and I don't really have too many choices to deviate from at this point. So when I first came into college, I did have direction, and I knew exactly what I was doing. I mean, I thought I knew exactly where I was going. I was going to engineering field. I wasn't exactly sure which one. I started, in the classes that I was supposed to start in and went from there and just kept on driving. I never held off. I never said, a lot of people wait and say, oh, I'm not going to take physics until my sophomore year. I just went ahead and took it all. I didn't wait. I didn't take my general. I took maybe one general ed class a term, and I wanted to get all my physics and my chemistry and my math out of the way. And I did complete all those, and now I'm wondering if I'm sorry for it because I spent all that time, and I don't even need it for my college requirements now.
Did you ever consider anything relating to drama? Did you ever want to be an actress? Did you ever want to do something crazy like that?
No. I've always, when I was younger, I used to always be pretty shy about stuff like that. I've considered it. Oh, what if I take, drama class? Would that be fun? But I don't know. I think that's you're up there and people are watching you and it's, they see you. That kind of makes me nervous. I mean, they see your mistakes too fast.
But what about these other subjects? Psychology, what makes people tick? Sociology, all of the social sciences, which deal with a more mysterious, in spite of the fact that they're called sciences,
mm-hmm.
they're dealing with a more abstract level of humanity than engineering. You're latching onto something which is very concrete, interior design. You're talking about colors and textures and buildings and how to design something, how a room should be put together or whatever. But this whole other aspect of life, which could be drama, which could be psychology, and so forth. You haven't even had an interest there. Why? Why doesn't that?
It interests me, but I find that I question it a lot more, and so I'm always, maybe because it's always leaving me wondering. Is this like you said, psychology? They have all their theories and everything. But I seem to always. I'm questioning you. Well, validity of what they're saying. I guess it's that, like you said, the sciences and stuff, maybe that's just more concrete to me. And maybe it's just more visual. And so I can accept it more readily than some of the social sciences or the psychology. But it does, no, I'm not saying that doesn't interest me, though. I've loved all my classes that I've had, my general ed classes. Some of my general ed classes have been my favorite classes. So I'm interested in it,
but still,
but
your basic
it more.
Your basic thrust in life seems to be to work in a medium that you can physically control, where you can see a clear result,
mm-hmm.
and the result can't be disputed. I mean,
But in the question, where does the aesthetic side enter into it? I mean, if you're going to get into interior design, then we're also talking about something very subjective, aren't we? How are you going to handle that? That's not something you can grasp in terms of a formula or in terms of an engineering principle. That's very subtle. It relates to taste, something subjective.
I don't know. That has come across my mind. And whether, that's going to be a problem for me because I always find myself very conservative and a lot of times, and I wonder if I'm being too scientific about a lot of things when I'm into a project or something. I'm always bringing back that engineering mentality back into the field. But in a way, that's kind of what I'm hoping to do when I always keep telling my friends and family that that's the side I want to lean to when I get into design. I was interested in I will add that I was an industrial design major in engineering arts, and they terminated that major here in that college. And it happened so fast to me that I wasn't so set on it that it was something that I was knew I wanted to do, and so I would transfer schools where a school might have that major. So that left me hanging for a term, and that's when I went back to regular engineering, and I went back to took more math and other stats, and I had taken classes that I needed for this major, and it's been kind of a runaround. And but I've always leaned towards, I'm really excited about taking that lighting class, and learning all the technicalities about lighting and how it affects people and their emotions. And maybe I'm going to get into sound design, where you might be designing a auditorium, the interior of an auditorium, and you need to know about how sound bounces off. I want to keep that science into my design, into my career. Or if you're designing a hospital or handicap, I want to work that problem solving into my career, as in, if you're designing for the handicaps, you've got to know the clearances and how hard it's going to be for someone to move around in that space. So I'm not going to be satisfied with just having, clients in a neighborhood and they bought this new house in the suburbs and they want to furnish it. That's not my goal. So I'm hoping that my engineering background is going to intermesh with major that I picked. So it's always a conflict, well, why don't I just get 2 degrees or something? It's like always, you never know how far you have to go in one area. Because maybe once I get out of college, I don't, I could take it wherever I want, depending on how much more knowledge I want to try to gain or how much more, I want to be interested in. And maybe I should be going into architecture. I've been taking these occupational tests that we have at the testing office, and trying to find out, maybe if I'm thinking that I'm going into a field that's different than what the tests are going to say. And so far, they've said about the same thing. And the one I just got back the results, architect was on the highest list in mechanical, and so I think it can be done. Careers don't really make a difference. Sometimes I think it's just how you feel about the work that you're doing, and the people around you make a big difference, and how excited they are about the work that you're doing. I mean, I can see myself working on an office building or a parking lot, like you said. And if everyone else is really gung ho about it and excited, and that kind of motivation seems to help,
All right. You
So.
do that once, and you've done it so well that I come back as client number two, and I say, I really like what you did with the parking lot over on Walnut Street. I want you to design another one for me. And after the fifth time that this has happened, are you really going to be able to say that? In
Well,
other words,
then I think by that time, I don't know, because it would be a lot. You could say it'd be a lot easier to whip them off. I mean, I've already done 5. I can do another one. It's gonna be so easy. I know all the ins and outs. I know what the loads are gonna be for the cars, and and I know all the technical stuff, and once that's out of the way, you can be as creative as you want because you don't have any barriers on you. I mean, as long as you can, if that comes easy to you in design, then once you've reached that stage, then I don't know. It depends on how much money they have and how far you can go, and if they want it to be bigger and better, and then the next one, I don't know. It's hard to say. That's one thing. I feel like I'm going to be in school forever because until I feel like I know enough about things, I don't want to attempt it. I mean, I want to know everything I need to know before I even start. And so that's one of my downfalls, is I tend to keep things in my head and I don't write them down because I don't want to have some little sketch over here that's totally senseless because I feel like I need to know everything. Like I said, I need to know everything there is to know about that thing before I can start. So that kind of holds me back a lot in doing anything.
But the project itself will always be different, somewhat different than the conception of it. Do you agree with that or not?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, if you agree with that, then how can you say, I always want to know everything about a project before I start? Isn't there something illogical there?
Well, that's ideally, I guess. I mean, ideally, I mean, I'd like to know, I hope that I'm educated enough that I'm going to design it. I think, you know, it's kind of working towards perfection, I guess, but.
Oh, maybe I found a flaw in you. Maybe you're too much of a perfectionist.
But I'm not. I can deal with flaws.
How do you deal with mistakes when you make them? And on the job or in class, or if you come out and you get a 3.5 instead of a 4. Do you go on a binge or what?
No, that's okay. I can deal with that. But as long as I know that I did the best that I could. But
do you usually do the best that you can? Or do you usually come away saying, I could have done better?
I usually try to do the best that I can. I'm usually satisfied.
But you're usually satisfied?
I'm usually satisfied with the work that I did at that time. Because, like, I can look back at a project that I did last year and say, at that time, I know I did the best I could with the classes that I had and my schedule and the knowledge that I had and the experience that I've had and how much practice I've had with those materials. But I bet if I did it again, I could do it better.
How do you compare yourself to the other students that you've known? Honestly, you don't have... where do you rank yourself? Do you think that, generally speaking, you're more mature, less mature, smarter, dumber? Where do you fit into the spectrum? I'm here, and I just give me an honest evaluation of how you compare yourself to your peers academically, in terms of social adjustment.
I think that I'm definitely not the most talented person. There's so many talented people out there. I might, compared to more people, I might have more discipline than other people, and I might care a little bit more about my work, and I might, you know, like everyone says, you're your own worst critic. And I try, if I respect my instructors, I really work hard towards that. And if my instructors fail me, then I just have to rely on my own discipline to carry me through.
Comment briefly on the quality of instruction you've experienced.
I don't know what to say about that, but I guess I expected a little bit more. I respect the fact, usually, that the teachers are good at what they do as far as in the profession, and they may be talented, and they may know a heck of a lot, but a lot of times I run into the situation where maybe they don't know how to transfer their knowledge to the students, and maybe their teaching abilities are lacking a little bit.